Mark 5 from 25. Let's read together. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately. Somebody say that again. Immediately. Let me hear you say that again. Immediately. Hold it a minute. That's one word I've come to love. Each time I come to the word immediately in the Bible, it just reminds me of Hebrews 13:8. That Jesus is the same. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. He knows how to do immediate miracles. Miracles that happen suddenly. I mean, mighty supernatural intervention of God into your case that will end an issue instantly. And sometimes you may not have explanation to it. You may not just know what to do, what to tell people about it. Just only that God intervened and stopped it. I pray for such sudden miracles right here in this Sunday morning. If you believe it with me, say amen. Verse 29, read that with me. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. That's what happened to my mother-in-law. She took the Holy Communion. Just that. And it's a simple prayer. Simple prayer. I didn't even know whether I felt the anointing that day or not. But the next morning, the blood drop was dried completely. Till today. So whatever God does for you this Sunday morning will be permanent. I prophesy to you, whatever the Lord does for you this morning will be permanent. If you believe it, say your amen like you mean it. Look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" I seem to see Jesus looking around and, you know, peeping through the crowd to find who touched him. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Look at verse 32. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. I would have made my topic today, "Do this thing." Look at verse 32. Verse 32 says, and he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But that's not my topic. But slap your neighbor and say, "Do this thing." Tell you something, if it worked for the woman of issue of blood, it will work for you. Tell your neighbor, "Do this thing." I can assure you, if it worked thousands of years ago, it will work today. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it worked then, it will work today. Oh my goodness. Now go to verse 34. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." I just made one prayer for about 50, 70, 100 people who be at the sound of my voice. That while in service today, if the devil didn't stop you from coming and you came, you are going to go home in peace. And you are going to go home different. You are going to go home free from all affliction. If you believe it, I want you to hallow praises unto the Lord and say, it is done. It is done. It is done. Glory to God. 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 He touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that flowed my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Strike a key. Get a key C. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all that joy that flowed my soul. Something happened, and now I know. He touched me and made me whole. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The hour has come, sweet Spirit of God. Just seize this moment and execute your good plan for your people. Execute the determined counsel of God over this worship this Sunday morning. Lord, do what only God can do in the lives of your people. Dish out your word in a way that your people will understand it. And let the word come with creative miracle, with a prophetic power to transform the life of your people. Bring a change, bring healing, bring transformation. Manifest yourself in a unique way. Put a testimony in every mouth. Take the glory to yourself. Remember, I didn't call you, but you called me. And you didn't call me to use you, you called me to use me. Go ahead. Fulfill your plan. Let your will be done in this service as it is done in heaven. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. All of God's people say amen. Give Jesus a clap of praise, and then the choir can. You can take your seat right now. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can take your seat. Praise God. Thank you so much. Choir, you've done a wonderful job. When I came in here, you know, I just felt, you know, I came in when you were worshiping. You know, it was so glorious. The anointing was all over here. There's some kind of transformation on the music team. And the choir. That is awesome. You are really transforming really good. I appreciate your good work. Please let's celebrate the choir. Thank you. Thank you. Now we just read from Mark chapter 5. From verse 25 through 30. And I'm speaking on the topic. Just a touch. Everybody say just a touch. Let me hear you say that, just a touch. You know, when it comes to the supernatural touch of God, we all like to pray and cry for God to touch us. But we just discovered that we can also touch God. So here's the good news. Whether God touches you or that ye touch him, you have the same outcome and you have the same result. It's the same. Whether God decides to touch you or you make up your mind to touch him, as long as there is that contact, you have the same result. You have the same outcome. Slap your neighbor and say, do this thing. Glory to God. We read about this woman who touched Jesus. Just a touch. One touch that truncated her protracted disease. Just a touch. One touch that terminated Satan's decade of reign and torture in her life. Just one touch. What took the devil 12 years to do in her life was destroyed in an infinitesimal second of a time. Just for one touch. One touch that was so powerful that Jesus felt it himself. And he realized that power, virtue has gone out of him just because one frail, disease-eating woman, a woman that has been on terminal disease for 12 years, that had no energy and strength of her own, just made contact with him. Jesus cried out. Said power had gone out of him. Yes, yes. I urge you to do something this morning to pull power out of our God. Pull the power out of Jesus. Draw that power. You can. Slap your neighbor and tell him you can. You can. You can draw that power. You can draw it out. You can. You can. Glory to God. And Jesus was shocked at this encounter and needed to know who touched him, because power and virtue went out of him. And the reason is that there are three elements of this power of God on people, both Jesus and you. And those three elements, it's like I've mentioned it sometime here before, and I need to mention it again. It's the fact that God's power is on the body. Is where? On the where? The body. On where? The body. It's just on the body. This is your human body. This is your human temple, flesh. That's where it is. It's on the body. If you have God's power, it is on your body. That's why the Bible says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So I tell people, don't mess with my body. Don't tell me anything can go on with your body. God is only interested in your heart. That's heresy. That's a lie. God is not only interested in my heart. He's interested in my soul, spirit, and body. There is an essence for this body. Elisha died for decades of years. Decade. And his rusted bones were just all there in his tomb. And people were burying and they were under attack. They threw out the dead body and the dead body rolled and hit the bone of Elisha. The dead body revived. Body. Somebody say body. Slap yourself and say, I carry something here in this body. There's something about this body. It's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. It's not ordinary. I know God can show mercy. You know, sometimes we can mess up with the body. But there is a reason that I decided not to mess with my body. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. I want to carry God's power. I want to carry his anointing. I want it to be a dedicated body. Oh Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Most High God. Say, create in me a clean heart. Sanctify my body so that it could be a living place for you. Oh. It's a message for a new Sunday. But second, this power of God in the body of God's people transmits to their materials. Just hear Jesus here and say, somebody touch me. What did she touch? His clothes. His what? His clothes. So God's power transmits to the material of God's people. I read about John G. Lake, and a man who has so much power of God. And I just pray that God will help me and help all of us. He said, power of God in John G. Lake, read history, was so powerful that when you come into the room where he studies, sometimes you collapse. Not church service. When a protocol officer comes to carry his Bible and his preaching material, they will collapse carrying the Bible. Nobody's laying hands on them. Read your history. That's the power of God. That's power transmitted to their materials. That's why Paul's apron healed the sick. I've had just a few privileges of having an apron in my hand laid on people, and they got healed in our church in Lagos. And that's what happens to every one of us carrying the Holy Ghost in the inside of us. Did you hear something about yourself? That he that is in you. Come on now. I am just talking about someone that is in you that they don't see. Makes you unique. And as a power in you, it goes into your clothes. It goes into your shoes. It goes into wherever you, whatever that makes contact with you. Are you listening to me? Most of the germs that affect you will die literally before they affect your body. Somebody give Jesus praise here. I'm talking about you. That's about you. Slap your neighbor and say, you better know something about yourself. Number three, carriers of this power have no control over it. Carriers have no control. Somebody say carriers have no control. That's what happened to Jesus. Jesus said, power, virtue has gone out of me. Who did this thing? Who? Power left me without control. Power left me without information. Power just left me. Who did this thing? That's because carriers of God's anointing have no control. When Jesus was carrying this power, he had no control over it. That power can ooze off. It can just heal. It can just do his work while you are there. Come on now, am I talking to you here? Just on that atmosphere where you are, in your house, in the office, wherever you are, that power can go forth to do his work. Glory to God. I love the power of God. I love the Holy Ghost anointing. The anointed have no control over the anointing. That's why as I'm preaching to you right now, I don't have control of the enormity of the great work that the Holy Spirit wants to do here. Come on now, are you listening to me? We lay hands without even knowing how far the Holy Ghost could go. I'm talking for those of you who preach the gospel, who visit, who lay hands on people, every one of us. You never can imagine, you never can predict what God could do in one moment of your laying on of hands. Yeah, yeah. You never can know. Yeah. That's why you don't shy away. Don't get intimidated by situations. He's blind. He's crippled. He's cancer. He's eating up everything. That's not your business. You do not know how far the Holy Ghost can do to destroy the works of the devil in the lives of people. All you just need to do is to do your own business. Say, this sign shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons. They shall heal the sick. Lay hands on the sick. Say, even if they eat any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You know why? Because the power is in the body. Woo! Shalabo Centeria. Slap your neighbor and say, you are not ordinary. You are a wonderful person. You are wonderfully made. You are not just a church person. You are a carrier of the power of God. Wow, your neighbor is very economic. Your neighbor is stingy with a prophetic. So please change your seat. I say, stand to your feet and talk to your neighbor and say, you are not ordinary. You are a carrier of God's power. You are anointed. The power is in your body. It's transmitting all over your body. Somebody give Jesus praise in this house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Whoa. She just touched the hem of his garment and power moved without his control. And then he said, who touched me? And the disciples felt embarrassed by that question. It was one of the most unnecessary, one of the most foolish questions anybody could ask under that circumstance and situation. Because in the ministry of Jesus, it was like survival of the fittest. Jesus had no ushers. He had no protocol officers. He had nobody, like armor bearers. He bears his armor because his armor is even too heavy for anybody to bear. No armor bearers. In the ministry of Jesus, there is no altar. There is no pulpit. It was just survival of the fittest. Imagine that if he's in the house and he has so much crowd and people felt we need to come before him and they tear the roof just to bring some. Can you imagine that? There was no, it was like if you can get to him, get to him. Whatever you can do to get to him, just get to him. So Jesus said, in the midst of the crowd, not just the crowd, they were thronging him. Are you with me? They were doing what? Thronging him. That's what we read. They were making contact. Are you listening to me? They were just making, they were making contact by every means. It's not that I'm standing here and you are seated there. No, there are so many who are close. The touching thing, the contact thing is happening anyhow. How can you tell me, Peter? I'm an analyst. I do analysis. I know, even sometimes I know before I know. I see people. And as a matter of fact, man of God, the Bible says, the disciples, not just one person. Every one of the disciples chorused. Okay. And said, Lord, why ask this question when people are thronging you? Yeah. Yeah. You get us confused. But because of the seriousness of what happened, Jesus didn't give attention to that pessimism. Jesus was busy. Who did this thing? He was just, and the woman knew she can't escape. And you can't escape with the testimony that God gives to you. When God gives you a testimony, you don't hide it. You don't secretly take from God and secretly disappear. The goodness of the Lord shall be made open, and the meek shall hear of it, and they will rejoice. Slap your neighbor and say, share your testimony. So the woman fell on Jesus and said, Lord, this is what happened. The Bible says she told him the truth. Somebody say she told him the truth. And I tell you something, that's why we have it on the holy books. If she had escaped that day, I wouldn't be reading from this portion. There'll be no history, there'll be no testimony like this. You know, the Bible, one of the names of the Bible is the book of testimony. It's the encounter of people with God. And his encounter with you will also be written. Somebody will hear it. If it's not written, it will be oral. Somebody should hear you. Slap your neighbor and say, somebody should hear you. If there's anything I charge parents to do, mentors to do, is to share testimonies of God's goodness to your family, to the next generation, lest they will forget the God their father served. There's a true essence, there's a reason for testimony. So Jesus wouldn't let that go. Woman, as bad as your case is, share it. It's not about what happened before, the shame, the disgrace, or whatever it looked like. But it's about what it is now. Come on, are you listening to me? You are coming from shame, but you're stepping into glory. The history has changed. It's a testimony for generations to hear. And I speak over your life for whatever thing the enemy has done in your life to bring you to shame. You are stepping into glory so you can have a testimony. So you have something to share. So the world can hear your voice. I just spoke to somebody right now and I didn't hear you say amen. Amen. Can I hear somebody who is receiving it say amen like you mean it? Stand to your feet and give Jesus glory and say, Lord, I have a testimony and I'm going to share my testimony. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Seed on the head of your enemies. Oh. So the question in the mind of everyone is, Lord, if everyone was touching you, and you say somebody touched you, what kind of touch are you talking about? So this must be a different touch. If everyone was touching and they don't have the same result, what kind of touch made all the difference? It sounds like what I see all great men of God, pastors, men of God, even those who have served before us, one thing they grappled with, especially those who are in the healing ministry, all of them, A.A. Allen, John G. Lake, Mary Woodford Ather, what are their names? Benny Hinn, even today, is the fact that you come to a giving church service meeting and so many are healed and some are not healed. Lord, why will you in the same service deliver, heal so many and not thus and not healed? What happened? There's no explanation to it. No explanation. Everybody say, okay, because they don't have faith. Okay. It was only Ketching Kuman who said, well, I see people get healed anyhow, maybe for God's sovereignty. But the fact is that for anyone who got healed, he got healed for a reason. For anyone who got delivered, he got delivered for a reason. And I saw the Holy Spirit and I prayed through. I said, Lord, I want to know, because this is critical, why will everybody be touching you, making the same contact? But this woman's contact had a different outcome, had a different result. If you're not concerned, I'm concerned. I'm a researcher. I believe in finding out things. I can't just read that and just pass. People are thronging you. And you say, who touched me? It means somebody did a touch that was different. And this is what the Holy Ghost laid in my heart. That the touch of this woman was a touch of three qualities. How many qualities? Three qualities. Go with me. Number one, the Lord said to me that her touch was a touch of knowledge. Number two, that her touch was a touch of purpose. Number three, that her touch was a touch of faith. Was a touch of knowledge one? Was a touch of papers two? Was a touch of faith? Did you get that? Was a touch of faith. Now, look at it. as a touch of knowledge. The Bible says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus. Everybody say, when she heard of Jesus. We're talking about knowledge. When she heard of Jesus, which means she had access to information. Woo! She had access to information. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Ignorance is dangerous. It is more dangerous than the devil himself. It's more tragic than any demonic attack. No wonder God says in Hosea 4:6, he said, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. For that reason, I said, Lord, a man is already yours and he's getting destroyed. God says, my people, but he's being destroyed. He's being destroyed not because I'm not powerful. He's being destroyed not because anointing is not available. Salvation is not available. He's not getting destroyed because there is no, what do they call it? Anointing in Gilead. What's that? Balm. There's balm in Gilead. And he said, why are my people wasting? In the midst of a solution, you see, going to a need. Why? Because of ignorance. Somebody say ignorance. Now, I want to believe God that this woman was not 12 years in this calamity, in this disease, because the devil was so powerful. She was not 12 years in this disease, in this sickness, because the sickness was incurable. And that's what they make us believe, that most diseases are incurable. They don't have medication for them. And they tell you, you have to keep up with it and manage it until you go to your maker. But let God be true, let the whole world be liars. Could be incurable to the physicians of this world, but not incurable to your God and my God. If you believe it, give God praise in this place. Give him glory in this place. Glory in this place. Woo! We now know the truth that she was 12 years in this disease. Because that's the number of years it took her to know Jesus. Are you listening to me? It is the number of years it took her to hear about Jesus. She had time to hear about many other physicians. I can tell you the truth. People came, made referrals when she was in the disease. And say, go to America, go to United Kingdom, go to India, go to the physician, this hospital and the other hospital. She was jumping about, knowing every man she could know, every professional she could know. And the Bible says she suffered many things in the hands of man. Because they were gazing on his case. Let me tell you something. There is a man who cannot gaze on your case. He knows where the issue is. And he will take it out suddenly. He will take it out immediately. He already knows your diagnosis. He knows your case from the beginning to the end. I can assure you, there's somebody who knows about you. He knows about you from your mother's womb. He knows what you're going through. He cannot gaze at your case. I bring you Jesus. I refer you to Jesus. And not a physician who has answer to every situation. And can I tell you something? The time it takes us to dwell in ignorance only prolongs our case. And what the Bible says, it says in John 8, verse 32, you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. The truth is the key to freedom. The truth is the key to your deliverance. Information is the key to transformation. And Jesus is the author of transformation. You may have heard what people say. They say, you know, God formed, the devil deformed, the church is conformed, the schools inform. But only Jesus transforms. Romans 12, verse 2. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Watch this. In Galatians 3, verse 10, says, the mind is transformed by the knowledge of him who created him. Come on now. Are you following what I'm saying? So the knowledge we are talking about, I love America because it's a place of knowledge. They read about everything. They google about Google. They google. They all have all the degrees and all the certificates. But I cannot show you. Sometimes some of those degrees that you have are the things that are decreasing you. Some of those most certificates are contributing to your lack of satisfaction. There's a much certificate that knows everything than knowing something about Jesus and more of God. We talk to you about church, you say, what are they going to teach me in church? That's the beginning of your destruction. Go to Bible study, they say, no, I've been coming to Bible. What are they going to teach me? That's the beginning of your destruction. Because the best thing, the easiest way for the devil to destroy you is to keep you out of knowledge. Anything that will increase your knowledge. And information brings transformation. And I like the Latin word, the meaning of the Latin word to transformation. Tell your neighbor, go with me now. The Latin word broke transformation, the word transformation into three. The first word is trans. The second one is form. The third one is shown. Is that correct? That's transformation. Everybody say transformation. And watch this. The word trans means across. The word form means mold. M-O-L-E. The word shown means lodge, which means lodge into a new mold. To lodge into a new mold. Get this point. Each time Jesus steps into your life and you experience transformation by the information and knowledge of him, you are literally moved from where you are into a new mold. You become literally a new man. That's what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So when this woman heard about Jesus, she experienced transformation that moved her into a new mold. She became a brand new person. Come on now. She became a brand new person that seeks after Jesus, runs to Jesus, goes to Jesus. It's somebody who didn't want Jesus before now, but he's going, he's drawn, he's palpitating towards God. He's seeking after God. I like the first song the choir sang. We said, we are seeking after you. What's that song? Chasing after you. She began to... Come on now. Somebody, do you understand what I'm saying? Transformation. That's why I tell people, each time you meet Jesus and you get transformed by the word you receive, you become a new man. The man met God, he said, it was a great change since I was born. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Places I used to go, I go no more. Things I desire to do, I do no more. A man who doesn't like church is going to church. A man who doesn't like prayer is now praying. A man who doesn't like to read the Bible is now reading the Bible. It's a great change because of the transformation. Sometimes people say it's a gradual salvation. That's okay to you. My own was radical because I was a bad boy when they preached to me on Saturday afternoon. After I received the word, I was to go for a party on Sunday morning. I wanted to go to club Sunday morning. We set up the club. When I was getting through my high school, we set up the club. I spent my money, set up the club. We have moved our equipment where we're going to do the music and rock it out. I had all my friends invited. But the world came to me Saturday afternoon. And on Sunday morning, I had my Bible on my arms and I was going to church. And literally, my friends drove and gave me a sign to come after church. But they didn't know that the Ben Lewis of Friday, the Ben Lewis of Saturday afternoon, is no longer the Ben Lewis they used to know. It's a man that has been lodged into a new mold. Waiting for me, they didn't see me. They came back. What happened? I said, I just got born again. What? Born what? I said, well, we know you. We give you 1 month. You come back to us. We give you. Do I have people here who had that experience? We give you 1 year. And I can tell you, that 1 month has turned to 35 years of being in the Lord. No power will take you back to where you came from. Because you are completely transformed. Can somebody shout hallelujah? That's what knowledge. When she heard about Jesus, she was new. And she moved over. And then her touch was a touch of papers. Because when she was coming now, she says, if I may only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made what? Made whole. That's purpose. Somebody say purpose. That's it. It's purpose. Thank God you got me. Whatever my accent is, we are communicating. You got it. That word is purpose. If I may only touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That's purpose. Slap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, that's how to go to church. You come into the presence of God with expectation. You go to church with a hope. You know what hope is? The inner optimism that something will change. You already believe it before you stepped out. I tell people that the devil has attacked the church of this age. Because we all come to church only to be part of the roll call. We want to be seen. That's the only easiest way to see people we have not seen since the week. That's not church. The church is where we come purposefully to meet the Lord, to worship Him, sing. That's why some when we are singing, they are watching us. When we are praying, they are just watching us. Because you don't know why you are here. You don't know why you are here. And sometimes when our case is bad, that's when to come to church. That's when to look for Him. Because the last time I checked, sir, Jesus made some prescription, recommendation. He said, is any of you sick? Let him call. Call who? Your personal doctor? Call who? Come on now, let me hear you, church. Call who? Call the elders, because they have something in them that can set you free. So they will lay hands on you in the name of the Lord. They will anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's where you have much. I will run to where we have few knowledge. You go there, they say, we don't have answer. We are still searching to know. No, God doesn't search to know. He knows. He knows. And he said, if any is sick, afflicted, let him pray. Wow. What happened to all these recommendations? Why do we roam from pillar to post, from anchor to filament? Why do we roam from people to people looking for experts? They are good. But we do that only like people who are hopeless. It's good to seek for knowledge, seek for help. I'm not against medication or doctors. I go to hospital. I take medication when necessary. But you cannot tell me when no medication is available to tell me I'm hopeless. No, sir. I'm not hopeless. Are you listening to me? You cannot tell me that I can only live with this because there's no medication that can cure. No. I have another option. Who will believe our report? Upon whom shall the arm of God be revealed? Believe the report of God. It's an awesome God. So we come to his presence with expectation, with hope, believing God that he has the power to change situations. Today, as I'm speaking to you, there are those of you under the sound of my voice, about 17 people under the sound of my voice. After this message, I don't need to preach much. You have a different experience. What you used to know about yourself will change right now. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Come into his presence with expectation. Believe whatever your case is, even if you're brokenhearted. Somebody said, I didn't take Holy Communion because I have heartbreak. My husband broke my heart. My wife broke my heart. But Jesus took Holy Communion when he was heartbroken. That's when to run to God. When things are not normal. So I tell people nothing should keep you out of service. You should even be in service first before you go to anywhere. Are you listening to me? Because I'm coming believing that this is where the answer is, at the foot of the cross. Lift your hand and give Jesus praise. There was a touch of people. And finally, hers was a touch of faith. Was a touch of what? Was a touch of faith. Wow. Here is a woman who has been sick for 12 years. 12 solid years. She came to Jesus with a courageous attempt, coming in to see another physician, having suffered many things in the hands of many physicians. So that was enough reason to say, I'm not going out anymore. I'm seeing nobody regarding this case. I've seen so many physicians. I'm not ready for another physician. That would have been the end. But she still had the gut to try another physician. That's what we're talking about. Don't slam your case and say it's all over. It's not over yet until it is over. Amen. Don't give up. Don't accept the limits of man and your own limits. Don't place limits on God and place limits on yourself. That you try several times does not mean it cannot work. And that so many people tried and it didn't work does not mean when you try, it will not work. Are you getting what I'm saying? She still had a goal to take a stay, to go to another physician. That was a step of faith. And now she's coming on that difficult condition. She's very sick and very weakened. She had no strength. It was not even bad that she was sick, but it was worse that she had to come through the press. I mean, that enough to discourage her. But she refused to be discouraged. She had this faith and she was coming. And she said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. And Hebrew 11:1 defined faith for us. And it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow, that's faith. So faith is not passive. Faith is active. You cannot have faith and not take action. Faith is believing before you see. Faith is acting before you are sure. Faith is taking the first step when you don't see the whole staircase. That's the way Martin Luther King Jr. defined faith. Taking the first step before you see the staircase. Faith does not deny the fact, but ignores the fact. Wow. Faith makes things possible, but not easy. Faith makes things possible, but not easy. No wonder when Jesus Christ identified with the woman and says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I put you back to what I said before as I close you. I told you, anyone who received anything from God must have done something. Whoever that had received anything from God had done something. Tell your neighbor that. To receive anything from God, you would have done something. Come on, say it with me. To receive anything from God, you would have done something. Oh yeah. One of those things you do could just be your faith. It's just, it may not just be your millions or anything so great. It would have just been believing God. It would have just been trusting God. It would have been just be acting on the faith. That's why so many others were thronging on him. There was no result. But when this woman had a touch, was a touch of knowledge, was a touch of purpose, was a touch of faith, Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Which means, permit me to agree with the scripture, that all of those who are thronging on the master had no knowledge of who he is, had no papers, and had no faith. Let me close you with this. One of the things she knew that gave her papers was a Malachi 4:2. In Malachi 4:2, can somebody read that for me? Malachi 4:2. What do you find there? Malachi 4:2 is that it was written concerning the Messiah. That unto those who believe him shall the sun of righteousness rise with healing in his what? Wings. In his what? In his what? Wings. Now watch this. That's the Old Testament prophecy about the Messiah. He will rise with healing in his wings. Now the word wing there is not the wing of a bird or the wing of an airplane. The wing there means the edge of his cloth. The extreme part of his cloth. Are you with me? Hello, are you with me? That word wing in the Hebrew was translated kanef. K-A-N-A-P-H. Kanef. Which means the edge of his cloth. So this woman who is a daughter, preferably daughter of Abraham, had known something about Jesus, that when he comes as a Messiah, healing will flow from his wings. So by the time she took off, she was targeting the point of power. Are you listening to me? She was doing what? Targeting the point of what? Say that with me. She was doing what? Targeting the point of power. If only I may touch the hem, his kaneph. If I would touch the wing, where healing will rise, I shall be made whole. Ladies and gentlemen, she succeeded. The word of God didn't fail. Sure enough, there was healing in that wing. Come on, are you listening to me? There's power in that. There's virtue in that wing. When she touched, she got healed. Listen to me. Let me tell you. Literally, every word of God is potent and so powerful in itself to fulfill itself. Every word that you believe will come to pass. Amen. Did you hear me? Every word of God you believe will come to pass. You don't need decoration. Listen, there's a point of power. That's why the Bible, each time you come to the presence of God, there's a point of power. Seek for the point of power. I tell people, there's a point of power in your praise. When you praise him with your whole heart, you draw power. There's a point of power in your worship. When you worship with your whole heart, you draw power. There's a point of power in your offering. There's a point of power in your tithe. Hear what he says. If you give me your tithe, say, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I tell them, Pastor, those who tithe well do not need warfare prayers. The easiest warfare prayer you do is to pay your tithe. Come on now, are you listening to me? Those who argue about tithe, I tell them, look, I don't need have argument with you. Flood all your argument in social media. I just see you people as it was sent by the devil to deceive the church of my time. If you tell me tithe is an Old Testament thing, number one, offering is also Old Testament. Because he said tithe and offering. We see those disgruntled element, they tell you, don't pay tithe but give offering. Because tithe is an Old Testament thing. But I told him offering is also an Old Testament thing. If you won't pay tithe, don't give offering. Stay, don't give. But the last time I checked, the Bible said it's more blessed to give than to receive. He said, give your tithe, pay your tithe, and I'll open the windows of heaven to bless you. And he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And I asked him, please teach me more. If tithe is an Old Testament thing, is that devourer an Old Testament devourer? What about that demon there? Is he Old Testament? Come on now, are you listening to me? I still need the power of God to do some battles for me. Somebody give Jesus a clap offering in this place. You can touch God. Touch him at the point of power. Touch him by showing love. Touch him by showing some mercy. Touch him by your offerings and your tithe. Touch him by your praise and your worship. Touch God from your whole heart. I can guarantee that one church service can do for you what 10 years of worship may not do. One moment. That you come into his presence with knowledge. And you come with purpose. And you come with faith. Come doing what you heard. One of the essence of speaking to you is that Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, how can they call on him that they have not heard? And then how can they hear if there is nobody sent to speak to them? Now hear me, and hear me very well. Those of you who are preaching,
who are sharing God's word.
Alanti went for outreach yesterday. You went for outreach? You're spreading. You see, when you speak to someone about Jesus and pass out that knowledge, you are done. Because whoever that spoke what this woman heard, that sparked off her faith, began the miracle in her life. When she heard of Jesus, apparently somebody spoke. Are you listening to me? I encourage you, CCA. Keep speaking. Keep talking about Jesus. Keep boasting about him. Tell the world what he can do. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. For almost 28 years, this is my 35 years of ministry, but I got anointed at 28 year of my ministry, you know, 35 years. But within seven years of my ministry, I didn't know much of the anointing. But the anointing just hit me one early hours of Sunday morning. And that's when I began to see the power of God. I've seen God heal his people. I've seen the paralyzed rise up. I've seen blind eyes open. But I can tell you, I do not know what will happen until I have done the prayer. I do not know what will happen until I have spoken. I do not know what will happen until I have laid my hands. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's the way we operate. We do not control every one of us, including me. So I set this church on fire to go out with what you carry. And touch people. And I set your heart on fire to believe that whatever the enemy has done in your life can come to an abrupt end. Rise to your feet, everyone. Rise to your feet.